Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. This is another Sports Scales of Truth, as explained and as indicated in previous episode titles. We are splitting our Week 7 preview up into multiple episodes just so they're more chunkable, more snackable. And so this would be part 2, where we start with our game previews and picks. So, let's join programming already in progress. And the first game, I get to pick first on this one. I don't know if it's get to or not. No, it's a pretty interesting game. Rams, quote, at Jaguars because it's in London. So, for me, the Jaguars are used to the London trip, so I find that interesting. Also, they left very early. Like, they leave on Tuesday, and they've got this down. In fact, this is their last game where they have a contract with Wembley Stadium, but they want to continue to come back overseas. They still have something like 5 games, or I can't remember, it's 5 years, but they've got a certain number of allowances from the city of Jacksonville to continue to do international games. And part of that is just because they're doing some construction, some upgrading or something in their stadium. And so they want to continue to go over there. The Rams have taken a different route to the, you know, always tricky overseas deal. They stayed in Baltimore on the East Coast this week, and they played at like the Orioles stadium. I mean, they practiced at the Orioles stadium, which I thought was interesting. Now, Jags are coming off that loss to Seattle at home, 12-20. It's the first game where they had no turnovers. And remember, I kind of thought the Jaguars were relying on turnover margin. So we'll see. Lawrence, I still don't believe in that team, but I do like Cohen. I just think that Lawrence is a limiting factor. So let's see, as far as what else I want to talk about, let me look here. 3-way tie at 4-2 in the division are the Rams, and they have a bye week after the Jags game. So it's really incumbent upon them, and I think they'll be highly motivated to do kind of that extra preparation that I talk about, not just being prepared, but burning the midnight oil. Because if they can, you know, after the way they've looked, right, where you go, geez, they should be world beaters. And you go, what just happened? I really like the Rams. And they're going to be really motivated, I believe, to go, let's go into that bye at 5-2, right? However, they don't have Puka. So I don't know what they're going to do here. And I'm not going to go any more detail on this. I'm just going to go into my pick. And I honestly had not decided until now.
It's a hard one.
It really is. I'm going to go select, and I'm going to pull up my spreadsheet. Does it sound like I'm being less clickety with this on the other
keyboard? Yeah, I'm not hearing your keyboard.
That's good. So I am going to go Rams here, and I'm sure they're probably the favorite. But I'm going to go Rams, but only by 3, because I don't trust them very much. So there your pick on Jaguars-Rams.
Yeah, so one thing I want to say is literally if you look at the quarterback matchups, if you put Stafford on the Jaguars this year, I'm not kidding. I think they're 6-0. And I think they're 6-0 easy if you pair Matt Stafford with that coach and with this team. Because you got Trevor Lawrence over here, 8 touchdowns to 5 picks, and they're sitting at 4-2. That's, you know, they're relying heavily on those takeaways, like you pointed out last week. And you got Stafford with 12 touchdowns, 2 picks. I will gladly say the Jaguars would be 6-0 if they had Matt Stafford on their team. If you flip these situations, and the Rams probably would be 3-3 or 2-4. And so that's a big reason for me to believe that, you know, when it comes down to clutch time, Stafford is known for fourth quarter, you know, heroics. Lawrence is not. And so for me, I'm going to take Rams as well, and I'm going to take Rams also by three. I know we're trying not to piggyback.
No, we can match. We already have to disagree enough. It's fine, because remember, we're picking straight up anyway. It's just the underdog stuff is just to try to understand, to make our picks interesting. The other thing I was going to say is the guy who got the 99-yard touch return, he's not playing this week. They're good defensive back. What were you saying there?
Is that the Ransom dude? I don't even know.
The Jaguars corner or linebacker or whoever who was playing so well and had the takeaway.
Oh, Devin Lloyd.
Yeah, he's not playing.
So that's rough.
That's another reason, now I think about it. But I may have known that in my head as far as I may have just known that. So let's go ahead and then just since you have the first pick, the way we'll remember it easier is that you'll just start with the explanation of that game. So with that, you have Saints at Bears. Saints 1-5, Bears 3-2.
Okay, so I actually do think this is going to be a fun game because the Bears aren't blowing anybody out. I'm pretty sure they actually have multiple wins recently that are 25-24. You can fact check me on that, though. I'm not totally sure. I saw something.
That is correct. Their last two.
Yeah, so 25-24, and the Raiders, I think, is one of them, and that's not an impressive win. Last week was more of an impressive win. You know, I'll give it to them. They rallied. They look like they believe in each other. Caleb Williams is looking like he's actually being a little more explosive and being less, hesitant with the ball and hesitant with his decisions versus last year. Also, Spencer Rattler. He reminds me of what Caleb Williams was last year. He's making good choices. He has good touchdown to pick ratio, but he's not putting high points on the board at all. So I do think it's going to be a fun game. I think it might be a little closer than what people would think because you got 3-2 versus 1-5. If this was Saints at home, I think it'd be honestly, I think it would be a toss-up because I think the Bears just have a tough time playing in other environments and dealing with any extra stress factors. But so I'm going to go ahead and get straight into my pick. With all that being said, it does suck. I think DeAndre Swift is going to miss this game, isn't he? Or is he questionable?
Yeah, let me look. Yeah, I've got that up here, and it was definitely on the list. It was questionable groin, DeAndre Swift running back.
Okay, yeah, and then you're also dealing with, on the Bears side, their kicker, which is Cairo Santos, former Chief. He's out. And he's been really, really good these past couple of years. So that could be a big factor. But I'm still going to take Bears. I'm going to take Bears by six.
Bears by six. Okay, let me get that. Okay, so Saints-Bears. Yeah, I like what you said. I agree that I believe that Rattler is looking a lot better. What did I say about Commanders versus the Bears, that one quarterback looks like the cool kid, Daniels, and the other one, Caleb, just does not look like the cool kid. But it looks like he's trying harder. But, you know, I do think that culture is turning around a bit, and especially what? Didn't they win? Haven't they won multiple in a row here? I guess it's three in a row. It's just that they had the bye week squashed in there where they beat Dallas, which is not a super win. And they beat Raiders, which is not a super win. But like you said, the Commanders is a pretty good win. New Orleans has looked okay. They lost 19-31 at Buffalo. They won against New York and they lost a close game against the Patriots. But I'm not quite ready to take them. This is in Chicago, right? That's probably going to be one I have to switch because I'm going to come up with too many favorites. I'm going to say Bears by five. All right, next game then.
Miami and Cleveland.
Yeah, so I got the first pick here. Njoku is out for the Browns. Brown's offensive tackle, Conklin, is out. Dolphins have lost four where they've had a chance to put away teams in the second half. But the Browns have scored 17 points or fewer in 11 straight games. So this is the 1-5 bowl. And it's, and that's not, like, you know how they say, and it wasn't that close? and it's worse than that, really. It's the Dolphins at Browns. It's worse than the 1-5, really. Gabriel has been 56.5%. Has he started twice or has it been three times now? It's twice. Losses to Vikings and Steelers. You know, they're playing an okay opponent, and he's playing okay, but 56% is not burning the world up or at all. Two touchdowns in two games, 411 yards. Just serviceable. Doesn't have any great gifts as far as I can tell. He can scramble a little. Doesn't have a great arm or anything, but is somewhat, somewhat intelligent. Is serviceable. Brown's best, and you know that was important because Flacco couldn't scramble, right? That's what happened there. Brown's best run defense through the first 3 weeks, and that's why I kept going, well, they can probably, maybe they can win one, but they've averaged 102 a game in the last 3 weeks. Now, that said, that's not awful. It's just very much mid. Once you're at 102 a game, you're mid. And so you're not the best run defense through the first 3 weeks anymore. So let me look to see what else I want to say about this.
I think that's going to be a huge factor, their run defense being good, because if you put Tua in a situation where he has to throw the ball to win the game, more than likely, they're not going to win the game. So I think that could be a huge factor if they pick up where they started.
Yeah, and so Miami, you'd think, should be favored here, but I don't have it up, but I kind of think they're not even favored here. But it's at the Browns. You go, surely they're going to, this defense and the Browns aren't going to be in misery all year. I mean, we know the Jets are, but maybe the Browns aren't. I'm going to take the Browns here by three. I guess, you know, Gabriel gets it done just because he is serviceable. And it's the short quarterback bowl again, just the small quarterback bowl. And I just don't believe – I want the Dolphins to turn it around. I like their coach. I just want them to be a little bit better than they are. I don't really root for them. I don't really want them to be in the conversation of disasters. You know, it's that just seems kind of like that's too bad. And it wouldn't be bad if the AFC East could not be ass, versus – and, you know, can look a little bit better, you know, considering that's who the Bills get to run through. I know New England's looking a lot better, and they're pretty good. But you know what I mean? I just would like more competition for the Bills. So I'm going to go Browns here, even though I would like Dolphins to win.
That's funny. I think at any given point in my lifetime, you could look at the AFC East, and there's like a 90% chance that 75% of that division is just awful.
Yeah, it really is in your lifetime, not mine. But in yours, that's definitely the case because you're talking the Patriots years.
Yeah. For reference, DeMarcus is 19 years old. So the past 19 years, three out of those four teams would be bad every single year,
yep,
including up to the last two or three years. It just kind of flipped roles. But this year it's looking different. There's two decent teams is what it's looking like in that division. So,
yes.
Wow. Big difference. Okay. So you've already made your pick. So I like what you were saying about the run defense, like I was talking about. If you can contain A-chain and you're forcing Tua to have to throw on third and longs, it's not going to go good for the Dolphins at all. And so it's really the Browns' game to lose at that point if that does become the storyline or narrative of the game. So Dylan Gabriel just has to continue to not throw picks, be just a little bit productive, serviceable, as you said, and feed Judkins. I want to see him have a big game. I don't think the Dolphins have a great run defense. I don't know any stats on that, though. And so I'd like to see Judkins have a big game here. And Myles Garrett is probably also going to eat. And I'm going to take Browns in a kind of boring scoreboard, but I'm going to take them like 23-14.
Okay. So you're talking about 9 points, Browns.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, and, they've both been bad in turnover margin. But the Browns have been worse in turnover margin. So they cleaned that up. Browns are minus four, and the Dolphins are minus two. So if Dylan plays a clean game, and I think he's been better about playing a clean game, and everything else happens, this is probably their best chance. I don't know what their schedule looks like, you know, upcoming, but one of their better chances of the year to win. All right, the next one you get, and that is, you might have it. If so, you can just go.
Yep, so we got Philadelphia at Minnesota. So this is definitely going to be a good, strong, close game. It might be another low-scoring one, considering the Eagles are playing in it, and they haven't shown any signs of being explosive at all for the entire year. Seems like they just want to win in cheap little petty ways that just get them enough to win. They could very well pull it off against this team. It's Carson Wentz-led Vikings. The Vikings are at home, though. They have a nice, loud, dome stadium. Carson Wentz needs to have a not... He doesn't have to have a perfect game, but he needs to not have large mistakes. He needs to not have interceptions in this game, I think, if they want to win this game, because there's not really a lot you can rely on as far as the run game goes for them. They don't have any type of star back, so you're going to have to rely on Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison. I think you're going to have a hard time if you make mistakes and turn over the ball. So they have to win the turnover battle in order to win this game. Obvious observation said in every matchup pregame ever, but you have to win the turnover battle. I think if you're the Vikings with a backup quarterback playing the Eagles, because the Eagles are probably just going to try and have a time of possession thing going on, which they've been bad at lately, I'm pretty sure, because they have a lot of three and outs. I don't know what stats there are behind that, but it seems like every time I watch them, they have multiple three and outs every game. It seems like they can't get Saquon going the way that they used to. Obviously, we know they can't throw the ball the way that they used to, even though they were never amazing at it. They at least had the threat of it, because on paper, they should. And so this game could go either way, in my opinion. I am going to take – this is going to be hard. I'm going to take Minnesota by three. I could very well be wrong here, but I'm going to take Minnesota 17-14.
All right. So one thing I want to point out, last game, Eagles got caught red-handed by the camera again, going early on a tush push, not called, but whatever. If they can't get to fourth and one, then every other team will be okay. But yeah, I mean, everybody pointed it out that the guy went early. Quinyon Mitchell might be out for the Eagles with a hamstring. J.J. McCarthy is questionable, ankle. Landon Dickerson, guard, is questionable with an ankle for Philly. And Jalen Carter is questionable with an ankle, a defensive tackle for Philly. Yeah, Barkley, like, what's going on, man? It's very, 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 very confusing. So without adding any more to that, just get to the next game. I say I will go... They burnt me 2 weeks in a row. They're really the reason I'm way behind you as opposed to just behind you. But I'm going with the Eagles and just figuring get right, and maybe Wentz finally comes back, you know, closer to the means. But I like the way he's been playing. I didn't think he had a great game overseas, but he did try to come back in it, and he looked better. I like the way he's been playing. So I do like the Vikings a bit, and I think Justin Jefferson probably will eat, but I don't know if Quinyon Mitchell usually goes on him. But I'll go Eagles by two.
It's interesting with Saquon. He's sixth in the league in carries, but 22nd in yards. That has never been his thing, ever. If you feed him the ball, man, you're going to have great production, but they have just not.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it with Brown, you know, doing his little complaining. Once in a while, they adjust towards him. But they do the same thing whenever we've had a good running back, or any team that goes a good running back. Why did we abandon the run? And I'm sure Eagles fans are saying that, even with, like, well, he's just not having the year he did last year. There's got to be something to the fact he's not as good. It's like, yeah, but you haven't given him the opportunities. And I think the truth lies somewhere in between the two. But it does seem like more than once they just said, yeah, we don't believe in Barkley today. And I'm sure if you're an Eagles fan, that's probably pretty frustrating.
So, well, I mean, when you don't threaten to throw the ball at all, or at least there's no real fear from your opponents, I mean, you can game plan for the run all day. So,
yeah. So next game, we've got Panthers at Jets. Kind of the ugly bowl, not the Uncle Bowl, the ugly bowl. But on the other hand, the Panthers are looking pretty good. Okay. They're the first time since Cam in 2021 that they have been at 500 this late in the season. Granted, it's only six games, but still, I think Cam had them at 5-5. Dowdle, Rico, 473 yards through two games. Just incredible. An absolute revelation at running back. But Chuba Hubbard is back. And so as the starter, we talked about this off the episode, but I think that they really should just let Chuba spell Rico Dowdle. They should not let him split. They should let him be a 25%, you know, give the guy some rest. Think Jamal Charles and how often he would go off the field. I'm not saying that rare, but more like that. Like, no, he's definitely your feature. I would use Dowdle as the feature until proven otherwise. But certainly use Chuba. Don't let him take over because he was a starter. So we'll see what they do there. Garrett Wilson is dealing with a knee injury. I think he's out week seven, I do believe. And the number two wide receiver. What'd you say?
I would also be dealing with a knee injury if my quarterback threw negative 10 yards.
Yeah, incredible. So Jets number two wide receiver might not play. Josh Reynolds, he's out. He's doubtful with a knee. Wide receiver for the Panthers, Jalen Coker was a nice slot receiver last year, 32 for 478 as a rookie. He's back for the first time this week. The Panthers did lose their top pass rusher, an outside linebacker, Patrick Jones II, for the season. This I thought was hilarious, and this is the way somebody paraphrased it. Did you see the blow-up by Garrett Wilson last week?
When the
Jets looked like
when
that?
When they just let the clock run out for no reason?
He was so frustrated on the sideline. I've heard somebody say Jets Broncos this way. We came really close to the United Kingdom declaring war against us with that effort. So it was so bad that both of us got more net passing yards last week than did the Jets, right? Both of us. And that's the first time I've done that, so I'm pretty proud of myself. First time I haven't come in last and net passing yards in an NFL Sunday, so real happy.
That's pathetic.
Anyway, Wilson's on the sideline, and he has to explain his blow-up. And he says something along the lines was, well, I didn't even know what the plan was, and so I was frustrated, okay? And then I heard the plan, and I was disappointed. That is such a Jets thing. At least you could tell. And he had to just, you know, slow roll it. And I was disappointed.
Not only is your quarterback throwing zero net yards over four quarters, you've also got to deal with your coach trying to get fired as fast as he can so he can go sit in Cabo somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. It was so bad. And so we have Panthers at Jets, obviously. The Panthers are looking way up. And so I'm just going to make this simple without a lot of numbers because I didn't get to the numbers and just say I'm going with Panthers here. Because until the Jets show that they're not awful, even at home, I'm not going to think they aren't. So I'm just going to make that one simple. I don't believe in the Panthers as any world beater. But on the other hand, they've won three. So I put them over incompetent any day of the week. As far as the spread, I'll go with Panthers by, I don't know what that spread will be. It might be big. We're going to look later. But I'm going to go a whole 9 points.
Yeah, so it would be the most Panthers thing ever, you know, if they...
It's happened once before this week. I mean, this year.
Pulling away 3-3, the Panthers like, wow, we might be above 500. All we got to do is beat the 0-6 Jets and then just drop it. And it's going to irritate the crap out of me if they do that. But I'm going to go ahead and take Panthers because all signs point to Panthers.
This is a Magic 8 ball. This is a Magic 8 ball game. All signs point to.
Yeah. If they lose, though, I'm not picking the Panthers for the rest of the year. I'm going to target them negatively for the rest of the year. But I'm taking Panthers here by 14.
All right. You're even bigger than me. All right. And so this next one is yours. Is it Patriots Titans?
Yep.
Okay. Your pick first there on Patriots Titans. Another humdinger. That'll be a real barn burner, but maybe. I mean, maybe. Any given Sunday. Maybe.
Any given Sunday. Sure. And they just fired Callahan. They got somebody. I don't even know who's filling in for him, but I'm sure he's better, whoever he is. You know, I think I could probably go in there and at least put in some points for the Titans.
See, our week. See analogy for week 6 net yards by Tyson versus Fields. Same idea, just with coaching. Yeah. Somebody
pretty
else.
Pretty much, yeah. Put me in there, and I'm just going to be like, Cam Moore, just chuck it up, dude. And, I mean, just Jameis Winston at this point. We're 1-5. So, yeah, no. I mean, I liked that Vrabel's about to go in there and probably unleash a can of whoop-ass on his former team. They deserve it. They could be 10 times more in a better position than what they are currently as an organization. But they fired everyone that they should have kept. Yeah, I mean, like when you get rid of A.J. Brown, you get rid of Mike Vrabel, and you get rid of Derrick Henry, why would you expect to have a winning season ever? Why?
Right.
You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And so all those people are on to better things, quite literally. And then you've got the Patriots coming in, looking pretty hot. They beat the Bills a couple weeks back. I like Drake May this year. He's balling, playing really nice. 5-1 touchdown to interception ratio. 10 touchdowns on the year, 2 picks, 73% completion percentage. He's playing really, really nice. And the matchup here is just not fair to me. And like you said, Calvin Ridley might not even play. And he's their leading receiver with 16 receptions through the year. So I don't see how the Titans could do anything this week. Maybe their coach will bring out the best in the players. Doubt it. So I've got Patriots like 27-6 or something like that.
Whoa, you got them by 21. Wait, am I doing my math right? 21.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So for me, yeah, we've got, I think it's a young receiver. It's maybe initials booty. No, it's not initials, but it's something booty, like a Javon or a J. I can't remember. Anyway, he's had a really nice season with May. 5 and particularly week 6, he had 5 for 93 for 2 touchdowns. So, nice receiver there. Obviously, Derek May looking Drake May. I don't know why I said Derek. Looking pretty good. Stephon Diggs is questionable, though. Some kind of a chest injury. But since it's questionable this late, I can imagine he tries to play. I just don't know. Ridley's out with a hamstring, like you said. And like you said, the Vrabel revenge game to me is a big factor here just to kind of finish off the rest of the prep and the rest of the will to just pull away and not allow this to be anywhere near fluke range. And fluke range would be pretty wild for it to even get in fluke range. Like the Patriots look like a real team this year and the Titans beat the Cardinals on that double fluke game. Like impossible. How could that possibly be two crazy plays that even contributed to it? Or they would have been up by like 24 or something, would have the Cardinals. Yeah. So the Titans in no way, shape, or form are even 1-5, even though they're 1-5, if you know what I mean. So I agree with you that this is going to be a runaway. It's just a matter of the score. And I don't see how it's close considering Vrabel. I don't think he's one of these just diplomats that tries to make it close just because he could. Like, oh, Pat. Good job, other coach. We only beat you by 7. You're on your way. I don't think he's that, but I honestly don't recall. So because
no,
of that,
I don't think he is at all.
I will also take the Patriots, and I'll take them by 14. Thank you so much, Tyson. No, that's the end of this little, as I said, splitting up this NFL preview week. And so look for another part. It'll be part 3, and we'll get that up as soon as we get it produced for further preview of NFL Week 7. Thanks for listening.